Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 10th November 2022, Thursday class. So tonight we are very fortunate to have with us Tengsiong Supu from Cameron Highlands Tsongpo Temple. So she will be later leading us in the chanting of the Heart Sutta and the Great Compassionate Sutta. So let us welcome Tengsiong Supu with the usual rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We shall now commence our homage, followed by the puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Shijia Moni Fo. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Quan Thế Âm Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Appassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhamma saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Page 3 of the chanting book. We will continue with our Padipa Puja chanting. Gannasarappaditthena Dibbena tamadang sina tiloka dibbang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang Gandha-sambhara-yutena dupena-hang sugang-hina pujaye pujaniyang-tang puja-bhajana-muttamang vanna-gandha-guno-petang etang kusuma-santatim Pujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Budang Kesumenanena Punena Metena Cehotu Mokang Bupang Milayati Idang Meu Kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante aniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante Pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of these puja offerings. Significance offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind. And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Buddha, who is perfect in wisdom, in virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity, and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Then finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay our final respect to the Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujeme. Tamang Puchen. Sanghang Puchen.
Namo Tate Quan Sư Yin Bồ Tát. 波罗揭谛萨婆那忍哆波那摩那瑞谨悉利摩诃本陀萨弥萨婆他多时阿斯因萨婆萨多那摩婆萨那摩婆伽摩伐的哆耽斯达阿那波如斯如迦帝迦如帝夷色利摩诃菩提萨埵萨婆萨摩来摩来摩悉摩悉利哆夷吉如吉如吉蒙哆如哆如跋瑟耶帝摩诃跋瑟耶帝哆来哆帝利尼瑟佛来耶瑟来瑟摩摩伐摩来摩帝利夷释夷释舍那舍佛来僧佛来舍利跋瑟跋瑟佛来舍呼噜呼噜摩来呼噜呼噜悉利萨来萨来悉利悉利苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩提耶菩提弥帝利耶那瑞谨此帝利森波耶摩那萨婆诃悉哆耶萨诃悉哆耶萨婆诃悉哆夷夷舍婆那耶萨婆那瑞谨此萨婆诃摩瑞那瑞萨婆悉瑞僧阿摩揭耶萨婆萨婆摩诃阿悉哆耶萨婆悉吉拉阿悉哆耶萨婆波多摩揭悉哆耶萨婆那瑞谨此本揭拉耶萨婆摩婆利僧揭拉耶萨婆那摩诃来耽那哆来耶那摩阿利耶波罗揭谛萨婆那耶萨婆唵悉殿哆曼哆那跋哆耶萨婆那摩诃来耽那哆来耶那摩阿利耶波罗揭谛萨婆那菩提萨埵婆耶摩诃萨埵婆耶摩诃迦卢尼迦耶唵萨本那伐伊苏耽那耽悉那摩悉揭谛哆夷蒙阿利波罗揭谛萨婆那忍哆婆那摩那瑞谨悉利摩诃本哆萨萨婆诃他多时般阿瑟因萨婆萨那摩婆萨埵那摩婆伽摩伐的耽悉达阿那婆如悉如迦帝迦如帝夷色摩诃菩提萨埵萨婆萨摩来摩来摩悉摩悉利哆夷吉如吉如吉蒙哆如哆如跋瑟耶摩诃跋瑟耶帝哆来哆瑟婆来耶瑟来瑟来摩摩跋摩来摩帝利夷释夷舍那舍那阿来僧佛来瑟跋瑟跋瑟佛来瑟耶呼噜呼噜摩呼噜呼噜悉利萨瑞萨瑞悉利悉苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶菩提耶菩提弥帝利耶那瑞谨帝利萨尼那婆耶摩那萨婆悉哆耶萨婆诃摩诃悉哆耶萨婆悉哆夷夷舍婆那耶萨婆那瑞谨此萨婆诃摩瑞那瑞萨婆悉瑞僧阿摩揭耶萨婆萨婆摩诃阿悉哆耶萨婆 Sati la asita ye sapa. Potomo je sita ye sapa. Narai cincha banche raye sapa. Mopori sanche raye sapa. Namo halai dan nai do laye. Namo oliye polo je di sapa laye sapa. Ansi den do man do la pato ye. Sapa. Jeti jeti poro jeti so sam jeti bodhi sapo ha jeti jeti poro jeti poro sam jeti bodhi sapo ha Jeti jeti poro jeti poro sam Jeti bodhi sapo ha Quan zi pu sa Sing san po re po lo mi Si zao jen wu Do yi che ku Se li zi Se bu yi kong kong bu yi si se Che si kong kong che si se Sou xiang xin si yi bu ru si se li zi Se chu fa kong xiang bu sen bu Bu go bu jing Bu zeng bu jian Zhi ku kong zhong wu se wu sou xiang xin Zi Wu yan er bi se sen yi Wu se sen xiang wei chu fa Wu yan jie nai zhi wu yi si jie Wu wu ming yi wu wu ming jing Nai zi wu lao zi yi wu lao zi jing Wu wu ku ji mie dao wu zi yi wu de Yi wu so de ku pu di sa do yi bo re bo ro mi do ku Sing wu guai wu Guai ku wu you kong bu Yen li dian dao mong xiang jiu jing nie pan san si zhu fo Yi bo re bo ro mi do ku de a niu do San miao san pu ti ku zi bo re bo ro mi do si Sen zhou si da ming Si wu sang zhou, si wu dan dan zhou, neng zhu yi qie ku, zhen shi bu shi ku, so po re po lo mi do zhou, qi so zhou yi, jie di jie di po ro jie, po ro san, jie di bu ti sa po ha. Jeti jeti poro jeti poro sam Jeti bodhi sapo ha Jeti jeti poro jeti poro sam Jeti bodhi sapo ha Quan zi zai bu sa Sing san po re po ro mi do si Zao jian wu yin jie 度一切苦厄，舍利子，是不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色。受想行识亦复如是，舍利子，色诸法空相不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色，无受想行识，无缘乐地色身意，无色身相为出发。无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得，无所说的苦菩提萨埵耶波若波罗蜜多苦，心无挂碍，无挂碍故，无有恐怖，眼离颠倒，梦想究竟，涅槃三世诸佛，波若波罗蜜多苦得阿耨多三藐三菩提，故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒，是大明咒，是无上咒，是无等等咒，能除一切苦，真实不虚，故说般若波罗蜜多咒，其说咒也。揭谛揭谛波罗揭波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭波罗揭谛波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭谛波罗揭波罗僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃。观自在菩萨，行深般若波罗蜜多时，照见五蕴皆空，度一切苦厄，舍利子，色不异空，空不异色，色即是空，空即是色，受想行识亦复如是，舍利子，色诸法空相不生不灭，不垢不净，不增不减。是故空中无色，无受想行识，无眼耳鼻舌身意，无色声香味触法，无眼界乃至无意识界，无无明意，无无明尽，乃至无老死亦无老死尽，无苦集灭道，无智亦无得，亦无所得苦菩提萨，依般若波罗蜜多苦，心无挂碍，挂碍苦，无有恐怖，远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃三世诸佛，般若波罗蜜多苦得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提，故知般 波罗蜜多次大神咒是大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦真实不虚故娑婆诃波罗蜜多咒其首昼夜揭谛揭谛波罗揭波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。
Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. So we'd like to thank Tan Xiao Sifu, Pamasri and all. Yeah, never mind. It's okay. It's good. It's already quite good. So we would like to once again thank everybody, especially Tan Xiao Sifu for leading us in the chanting of Tabito and the Sutta singing. Okay, so now we shall start our class again. So as usual, our Thursday class, we are basing on this transcript book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code, written by me. So he composed all this very useful unique code so as to help cultivators of the way develop clear understanding of what this nature is all about, of what cultivation is all about. We finished code number 9. So now we are on code number 10. Today we will try to cover unit code number 10, number 11, number 12, 13, and 14. 14, I put in bracket because there was no title. Actually, the title should be Resolving Issues or Life Problem or Situation. The first unit code is very important. To realize profound wisdom, most people would say you need to meditate, which is, of course, very true. But apart from meditating, what else can you do to realize perfect wisdom or profound wisdom? So what I have given here is a very important gong an. Gong an is like an inquiry where it can awaken you. So what I have written here is to realize profound wisdom, you need to inquire. Without thought, who are you? If you can understand this, you will awaken to great wisdom. So I put in bracket to help you understand. The answer is, without thought, you are nothing. And you are nobody. So these are still words. So when it comes to Dhamma, it's not the word. It's the actual realization of what that nature is. So let us now develop some form of understanding. We just assume we don't know. We start from maybe scratch, means clean slate, without thought. Who are you? So what happened when that inquiry arises? Can you be in a state of without thought? Can you do that? If you know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, then you can. Then you have developed that well, stabilize it, then that nature will realize something very profound. You are nothing. You are nobody, which means the anatta nature. This anatta nature is very beautiful. You are nothing means you cannot use word or concept or idea to describe that state. And that one is not a being. That's why you are nobody. You are nothing. You cannot describe. You are nobody. Means there is no permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me. This is I. You have the basis of existence, the egoic mind, is always the thought process. Without consciousness and its content, there is no thought. Without thought, who are you? The answer is in the next line of the code. So I read again, you will understand. To realize profound wisdom, you must inquire. Without thought, who are you? So I have already helped you to develop the understanding. You are nothing and you are nobody. Means you cannot describe what that thing is. No word, no concept, no idea. And you are nobody means no ego. No egoic mind. There is no atta within. The answer is, if you can realize it, you will come to know you are just the awareness nature within. Realize this, then profound wisdom will dawn upon you. So this one is really, really true. Do not underestimate this particular unique code, because the whole law of awakening actually lies there. When you can realize the awareness nature which is without thought, you will realize your true mind. You will awaken to that true nature. And that's how you can become enlightened. When the mind realizes itself and ceases, then that nature manifests, surface. The problem with living beings is they have been using thought for so long, for eons and eons and eons, since birth and death, every segmented birth and death, they have been using thought. So the only instrument they have is the thought process. But they cannot understand what this thought is until you can realize the awareness nature. Then you realize when you are with the awareness nature, the movement from the awareness nature to trigger of the mundane mind or the thinking mind or the thought process is so near and so fast it manifests. That is the greatest realization. That's why once you realize that, you can understand why the Buddha meant by our mind, which is the mundane mind, is the forerunner of all things. Mind is sheep. When mind arises, all things arise. And yet, this mundane mind arises from nothing. That nature is nothing. It's not a thing. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. It's not a being. And that nature cannot come out and live life. So all this understanding will arise and fall into place. And this will lead to profound wisdom. Then through that understanding, you will understand the teaching. Everything that the Buddha taught can be easily understood. That's why to realize profound wisdom, you must realize your true nature within, which is the silent inner awareness nature. And that is your true mind, your true nature within. So that realization is very important, because that one is like the sutta. Even the Mahayana Sutta, they always try to use word to actually explain what that thing is by giving you the negation. Negation means what? It tells you what this thing is through words that explain to you that without this, that is the thing. That's why you hear the Mahayana always have in their sutta, you have to realize, 不生不灭, no arising, no ceasing. What is no arising, no ceasing? When thought arises, there is arising in it. That's why the Mahayana wisdom words are very powerful. 起心动念. When thought arises, when your mundane mind arises, there is this mundane thinking or activity, then thought arises. That's why mind is a foreigner of all things. Then, wu nian, without thought, which is Hui Ning's first hallmark to develop wisdom. Wu nian, qi shi zhen xing. Bo Yan Zhang Lao also say this. Qi xing dong nian. Wu nian, qi shi zhen xing. So without thought, that is your true mind. That's why we have to inquire without thought, who are you? Realize that nature, realize that true mind which is beyond thought, beyond mind. And this awakening is very easy and very powerful. You don't have to do a lot of things, but you need to be very patient. You need to understand what that thing is through a realization, not through the thought process to go and look for it or intellectually try to think to understand. Because that thing is to be realized, cannot be intellectualized. You cannot use thought to try to understand it. Because that state is beyond thought, beyond mind. So I read one more time this quote, number 10, unique quote. To realize profound wisdom, you have to inquire without thought, who are you? Then you will come to realize this very profound understanding. You are nothing and you are nobody. Because you are just the awareness nature within, which is your true mind, your true nature. Realize this clearly. Then profound wisdom will dawn upon you. Means you must realize your true mind, your true nature. Or sometimes in Maya they call the original nature, 本来的面目. Means before things arise, the source of all things. Original nature. 本来的面目. Okay, then we go to the next one. Unique code number 11. Unique code number 11 is, again, understanding meditation. So this one is very important. It has been repeated many times. You do listen to it. To meditate is to silence your mind, to be aware of the truth and the reality within the moment. Aware of what is happening within your form and mind. It is through this awareness or mindfulness nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can really awaken. So whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you to train your mind to be aware, leading to heedfulness, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha, because the Buddha's emphasis is heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas if you are heedless, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. This is very clear. So what is heedful? Dhammapada verse 23 define what heedfulness is. The constantly meditative and ever mindful nature within is what heedfulness is all about. So heedfulness got two parts. That's why in the verse 23, the Buddha say, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one means you hold on to these two training to develop the mind that is heedful. You will realize the supreme enlightenment, which is Nibbana, the bond-free Nibbana. So what is constantly meditative and ever mindful? Ever mindful means you have to train your mind to be aware, mindful first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then constantly meditative means use it to meditate. Meditation can be done in many ways. One of the most basic ones is to be completely aware, silent, to observe, and to insight into phenomena to awaken. Yeah. Then constantly meditative means to be in that state to awaken. Yeah. So the other dynamic cultivation is to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Because under his four noble truth, the fourth noble truth, he emphasized very clearly. There is this fourth noble truth that talk about the noble truth of realizing the path that leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and now. So in this fourth noble truth, the Buddha said, if you were to cultivate this noble eightfold path and awaken to it, then you will have the embodiment of all this noble eightfold path factor. Then it will lead to the end of all suffering. So unless you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, it will not lead to the end of all suffering. Even after you silence your mind, after you awaken to the silent mind, to insight into the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Of course, that one will trigger off wisdom. But that is not the noble one that the Buddha talked about yet. That one is an important prerequisite to be a noble one. But to be a true noble one, you must go beyond that insight, that realization of the three universal characteristics. Because that one only enables you to understand the anatta nature, non-self nature. And when you understand anatta nature, non-self nature, you will understand why the phenomenal world is a phenomenal world of consciousness that has the universal characteristics of impermanent. Fear, attachment, and cling, suffering will arise, will be the result. And because it's impermanent, not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why there is no permanent within. That's why we call it non-self. And because everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, there is no reality. Moment to moment, life passes by. And that is the only reality, the highest in life. So how real can be life be? Because the present moment, which is the present moment awareness, is so like split second is day and gone. Split second is day and gone. That's why they use the word impermanent to describe it. But a better word is transient. It's very transient. The moment you aware of it is gone. The moment it arises, it ceases. And there is only reality, the present moment. So how real can it be? That's why the other deep meaning of anatta is empty nature or existence. Like the Buddha say, it's not totally self or no self. There are things, but do not be deluded by this thing. It doesn't belong to anyone. There is no permanent unchanging entity. Everything is just dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. Each year you wave on. That's why you understand. You will understand the profound stanza of the Diamond Sutta. So, whatever that arises, if it's impermanent, there is no reality. That's why we develop the understanding of empty nature or existence. He no you, he no me. That's why there is no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of living beings, others, and no mark of Dhamma or nature or whatever phenomena that arise. So all this understanding will fall into place. So constantly meditative means constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. So apart from having the insight to realize the three universal characteristics of nature, of anicca, dukkha, anatta, which is a prerequisite for becoming an enlightened being or a noble being, you still need to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path means develop the path factors, right view with regards to the nature's law, the Pancha Niyama that governs life and existence, especially the three spiritual law, the law of karma, Kama Niyama, the law of mind, Chitta Niyama, and the law of truth, Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama. The other two laws are scientific law, Utu Niyama, physical law of nature, and Bija Niyama, the biological order of nature. And you combine these two with the three spiritual law, they become the five universal order, or the Buddha called it the Pancha Niyama. So from there, you will understand very, very deep, profound wisdom, not only the universal characteristic. You must understand the universal characteristic is for the unconditioned. When you realize the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature, you realize the unconditioned. But with this, you cannot live life. To live life, you need to understand the conditioned Dhamma. And the conditioned Dhamma has its own unique law. The law of karma, law of mind, law of truth. They are within existence. And they relate to the form and mind. They relate to all things that arise within the phenomenal world. That's why without these two wisdom to complement each other, you cannot understand life. You cannot understand truth, reality. You must realize both. That's why cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is very important. From right view in regards to law of karma, law of mind, or paticca samuppada and law of truth, then you will know how to live life. You will understand the secret of life. Then you will know why you need Noble Eightfold Path factor to help you live life. Means from right view, you will have the ability to arise all the appropriate right thought, right speech, and right action, leading to right livelihood, then the four right effort. Finally, developing the right mindfulness to understand things clearly. Then, of course, accumulating into samadhi. Samadhi is the stability of mindfulness that can see things as they are, the unwavering, collected, true mind. And because it is unwavering, at the moment of sense experience, it will not be like stir or waver. And because of that, it can see things as they are and awaken to whatever. Then the wisdom part will fall into place. Okay? So this code is very important. Huh? And I'll go through, maybe you understand better. Understanding meditation, code 11. Unicode 11. To meditate is to silence your mind. So now you know. Eh? Develop mindfulness, awareness, awareness-based meditation. After you silent, because there is just awareness, then you can be aware of whatever truth that arises. Observation to the silent mind. That's how you will come to understand who are you, what are you, and how your mundane mind, through its delusion, condition you to stir your mind to react to sense experience in life while going through life and get yourself entangled with all the suffering. So the awareness that is able to observe all this will lead you to the awakening, to understand what truth is. So to be aware of the truth and the reality within life, within the moment. Then aware of what is happening within your form and mind means who are you? What are you? What is this five aggregate of form and mind? That's why the Buddha said, it is not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's anatta, non-self. But then, it exists. We call it a human being. Yeah, the human being has a human physical body. Within the physical body, you have your senses, your organs, your brain, everything. Then there is a consciousness trapped inside. But all these are dependent originating, condition arising, karmically conditioned out for you to manifest or arise within the conditioned world. So this understanding is very important. When you observe through awareness or mindfulness of what is happening within your form and mind, then you will understand how you function as a human being. Who are you and what are you and what is this five aggregate of form and mind is all about. Like the short video that you saw, my wife described the direct scene. You will come to that profound understanding that there is nobody inside there. It's just nature's arising and passing away. The memory, the conditioning, the belief system. And all this, when you are mindful, you can see them, you can awaken to them. You can develop profound wisdom. Otherwise, you are trapped. So after you are able to be aware of what is happening within your form and mind, then you will come to know who are you, what are you, and why the Buddha say the form and mind, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, is not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not you. There is no one to see, no one to hear, no one to think. So all this you will realize. That's the beauty of the Buddhist meditation. Then after that, you will come to realize it is through this mindfulness or awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can awaken and become enlightened. That's why enlightenment or cultivation is not what people think. It's not so straightforward. It's not just intellectual thinking or theoretical study. Is beyond the intellect, beyond the thought process. It needs to be realized. So these two quotes are very beautiful. Then quote number 12, unique quote number 12. What is wisdom? This one, you will only have this ability to understand when you awaken. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So if you want to know whether you have the wisdom or not, the enlightenment, the awakening or not, you check this code. The true, real wisdom is to be in that position to have the ability to be at peace with every moment of sense experience and having the ability to resolve all issues amicably. Means no negativity is true wisdom. So this part is important. But how to resolve issue amicably is not explained in this code. But it's explained in code number 14. Eh? In fact, code 13 also help you solving problem. Yeah? But solving problem amicably, you need code 14. Okay, we move on to unit code number 13. How do we solve problems? When we go through life, we encounter a lot of life situations. The first number two realities that can lead to affliction, suffering, misery. So nowadays, you can see our society in the world full of problems, full of suffering, full of affliction, prevalence of dukkha is everywhere, especially the first noble truth reality. Yeah. The eight first noble truth reality, when they arise, living being will develop suffering or afflictions. And you can relate it to life. Whatever aspect of life you go through or encounter, it will fall within one of this reality, the eight reality within the first number two. Of course, if the first seven is not included, it will be included in the last one. The eight reality means the whole final summary of the first number two. The Buddha said, in short, it is due to one's sakayadity or self-delusion or ignorance that condition wants to grasp and cling onto the five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. So when you cling and grasp to this five aggregate of form and mind, suffering will arise. And what are these five aggregates? It's basically the human being. First one is aggregate of form, the physical. You attach and cling to that, cross to that, worry about it getting old, getting sick and die, you suffer. Very clear. Because you believe this is you. Then you attach to your feeling, you also suffer. You have preference. You want good feeling, pleasant feeling. Very, very special feeling that you may crave for or desire. But as you know, feeling has three types. And it will come and it will go. It will go through the phase of change. That's why it is of the nature to evolve, dependent on condition. It arises when condition cease to be exist. And when condition transform, it transform itself. That's why you always oscillate between pleasant and unpleasant sensation. Or they call very afflictive type of sensation. Like pain, mental suffering, mental misery, pain that arises through disease, sickness, injury, relationship problem, health problem, financial problem. And there are a lot of other career-related problems. Your relationship, your business, and all those things. Things that you hold on to dearly. So all this can give rise to affliction. That everything you come to perceive, your mental conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, they will condition you to grasp and cling. That's why attachment to this five aggregate of form and mind, even feeling, perception, mental states, and consciousness will lead to affliction and suffering. Whatever you come to perceive through the phenomenal world, that is attachment to consciousness, you will suffer because you cannot get what you want. Craving, desire for the pleasant, for the peaceful, for the happy moments and all those things. But life has its own reality, the first noble truth, reality. It's very clear. So unless you can understand the first noble truth clearly, you can never, never awaken to the reality of life and existence, which is the first noble truth. Then after you have penetrated the first noble truth, you will have to move on to the second noble truth, which the Buddha said, there is this second noble truth that explains to you clearly the cause of arising of your suffering or affliction or dukkha. And basically, he used the word craving. Craving is actually a very beautiful word. But when it comes to cultivation, if you don't expand the word craving, you will not understand. Normally, craving means you crave for something. It is way beyond that simple word, craving. All of your attachment, rigidity of view, clinging, grasping, holding, possessiveness, they are all craving. And craving has positive and negative craving. Then you have craving to be and not to be. That's why the three types of craving. Kama tanha, vibhava tanha, and of course we have also the normal craving, sensual craving, then craving to be and craving not to be, kama tanha and vibhava tanha. Then the sensual craving is kama, they call it sensual craving. What is the call it? The karma is K-A-M-A, not the K-A-R-M-A. Karma is sensual. Yeah, karma tanga, sensual craving, yes. So that is the understanding. If the cause is craving, then you will understand why the Mahayana say the second noble truth, accumulation is the cause of suffering. They use the word accumulation. Where they meditate and they realize it's accumulation. Why? Because when you crave, you cling, you grasp, how did it become accumulated? It accumulates in your brain, isn't it? Your brain is the one that accumulates all this. Your envy, your jealousy, your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your negativity, your mind state, your possessiveness, everything that you do, you accumulate them. Yeah. Especially your phobia, your fear, your insecurity. So when you accumulate, this is the cause of suffering. You accumulate because you grasp, you cling, you hold. You cannot liberate your mind. You call it your problem. Yes. You are right when you say it's your problem, but you do not understand. It's only a problem when you perceive it with negativity. You don't perceive it with negativity, it's never a problem. You understand? So if you don't perceive things with negativity, means you go through the teaching, see things as they are, means whatever that arises within the moment, the causes and condition is already fixed. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. It cannot be otherwise. So you have to come to terms with the reality. Means accept the present moment. Whatever arise, that is the reality. Accept what is, suchness, ta-ta-ta. And then you act. That should be the understanding. Not react, become miserable, then only you want to act. You can't act that way. That's why this code 13 is teaching you how to solve problems. So with that understanding, I read the code, you will understand. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, or insecurity, or negativity or mind state can solve your problem, because these are negative mind states with the evil roots. To understand, there must be an awareness that gives rise to clarity of mind. Therefore, do not project the wrong thought to arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Instead, develop wisdom and virtue to solve your problem. So this is what you need to develop as understanding. That's why the unique code are so profound. They come about because after this nature had the realization, understanding, is able to tell you all this. But all these are connected to the cultivation, to the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. Then after that only, unique code 14 develops the actual final understanding. Unique code number 14, how to really resolve issue amicably. Resolving issue amicably. You have to develop wisdom with right view, means Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, the three type of spiritual right view. To accept the reality of the moment, like just now I explained, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind, it's fixed. It can't be otherwise. So you have to be at peace with the moment, to accept the reality of the moment, so that you can be at peace with it, with a calm and clear mind, to help you develop the understanding and move on. When there is clarity, you can write down what happened. Then when you know the problem, only you can attend to it. Then you do what you need to do, means resolve issue amicably. We are following Noble Eightfold Path. Following Noble Eightfold Path means what? Because Noble Eightfold Path will lead to the end of all suffering. Noble Eightfold Path has no negativity. Noble Eightfold Path means it is very noble in all aspects of life. The first Noble Eightfold Path factor is right view. When you have right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence, understanding the Pancha Niyama, especially the three spiritual law of Karma Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, that gives rise to wisdom. That's why you become a noble one, because you have great wisdom. You understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. And through that, you will know how to avoid all evil. We are the law of karma. It's very clear. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So when you understand this, you will take care of karma. Our life entirely depends on karma. So how do we take care of karma? We need to avoid all evil to good. We are following the advice of the Buddha. Then meditate to develop the appropriate wisdom so that we are not deluded. So because of that, the first Noble Eightfold Path factor of right view, which is a wisdom factor, will lead you to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. And these are all right, perfect. No negativity, no karmic implication. That's why when you apply Noble Eightfold Path, it will resolve whatever life problem or issue amicably. So this word, I write it down. Just now, I didn't write down. Resolve issues amicably. So now you see the beauty of the Noble Eightfold Path. The Buddha's teaching is so unique, so beautiful. The Noble Eightfold Path is so noble. It's the embodiment of all the noble qualities of an enlightened being. First path factor, right view, samadhi, Right view with regards to all the nature's law that governs life and existence, which is the Panchaniyamas. Then after that, we develop right thought, means we are no longer negative in our approach, no longer deluded. We don't create wrong thought. What are wrong thought? Thought that bring about disharmony. Thought that bring about fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, phobia, everything. These are all wrong thought. So when you arise wrong thought, you suffer. You become negative. Karmically, it's negative. That's why the law of karma will work against you. That's why we need to have right thought. And to understand what is right thought, we have to understand what is wrong thought. Wrong thought are thought that have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When the three evil roots are there, it's the root of all evil. That's why all the negative tendency will arise. So right thought means thought that are very virtuous, wholesome, without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And this one you need to cultivate. Not only the four Brahma Vihara. In fact, there are a lot of right thought, like generosity, contentment, sincerity, honesty, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. These are all right thought. Then humility is also a right thought. That's why the cultivation is not what people think and not what the text or the book describe. It's totally way beyond. Which means the enlightened being or the noble one that has this embodiment of noble evil power will have right view leading to right thought. Means every moment or thought process they arise, they are all right thought, no more negativity, incapable of negativity. Then the way they act, the way they speak, the way they communicate, they are all following noble eightfold path factor. Right view will condition right thought leading to right speech and right action. That's why the right ability to communicate, that's why they are very noble in all aspects of life. Then after that, the way they live their life also in accordance with the Dhamma way. That's why they will have right livelihood by applying all the other noble eightfold path factor to live their life. Of course, including right view, etc. Then after that, they will have the four right effort to constantly purify their thought process. And we have gone through the four right effort. Then you have the noble factor of mindfulness. They are ever mindful, constantly meditating. That's why right mindfulness and right samadhi are the last two path factors. And when you have this embodiment, you become a noble one. And that is the real enlightenment, not just the wisdom path. The wisdom path without the noble eightfold path factor, embodiment of that, you are not the enlightened being that the Buddha described. Because if you look under the salutation to the Sangha, Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. This enlightened disciple of the Buddha has got four noble qualities. And what are they? They have good conduct. Right conduct means they are wholesome, virtuous, righteous. Then they have wise conduct, wise. That's why they include wisdom. Your insight into the three universal characteristics only wise conduct. But they don't have the right, upright conduct and the good conduct. Then the last one is understanding the law of karma and the conditioned world dhamma of right duty. That right duty is very important. Without the noble eightfold path, you cannot have these four virtuous quality of a noble one, the enlightenment that the Buddha described. So under the chanting, you will understand all this. Then you will understand why the unique code is such. That's why I always say, whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. All of your meditative awakening, even if you got it right, is just the wisdom path, anasana, the wise conduct. But you still need to cultivate good and upright conduct and develop the right duty, of dutiful conduct. So these four, the qualities of an enlightened being, are very important. Maybe I write it down. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot have all these four. Even those who meditate and awaken, initially it's just a wise conduct. So without the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot realize the other three. Okay? So this part, I think, is most important. Okay, we stop here. So we end at quote 14. You go back, listen to this again, develop the understanding, then when you cultivate, you won't go wrong. Now I'm trying to go deeper into what the unique codes are all about. Well, in the early day when I share with you all, I don't think many of you all understand. But because when I do the sharing, my nature just express all this and share all this first. Only those who have their cultivation from the past, who have the parami and the wisdom ready to receive all this, can receive them. But not everybody. Most of them fail to see, fail to understand it. But there are some who manage to follow the instruction and develop good progress. After they develop the good progress, then only they will need this part of the teaching, the deeper aspect of the understanding of the teaching. That's why now I start to share all this. And these are for those Kalimita who has progressed and developed the understanding. Okay, so hopefully with this, you all can really benefit more and more. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, maybe we just nice, 9:32, we can have more time for the Dhamma discussion, Q&A. Then we will definitely end before 10 o'clock, so that they can have time for the end of rest tonight, so that they are fresh and ready to drive up Cameron Highland. For those who just joined us, for your information, we are very fortunate tonight to have Teng Siu Supu with us. And she has actually helped us by leading us to go through the chanting. Which is very wholesome. And these two very important chanting, they are the great compassionate mantra, Ta Pei Zhong. We chant three times. Then the Sing Ching, the Heart Sutta, we also chanted three times. Then we had this beautiful sharing today. Those who came in late, you should listen to the recording later on. They are very useful. We touch on unique code 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. So unique Dhamma code, this, what you call this color, red. Purple, this purple lotus flower book. This one is compilation of unique codes spoken by me, shared by me, and they are all there. There is a total of 160 something, and they are very, very beautiful, very penetrative, and very important. That's why we use the word unique. For those who understand, it's really, really unique and profound. So hopefully, all this will benefit cultivators of the way. Okay, we off the light. We have 10 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Huh? Awareness-based meditation is to silence your mind. Huh? Then relax into every mind state that arises. Maintain awareness. Stabilize the awareness. Then finally, for those who know how to meditate, you just trust that nature to develop the movement and the meditation. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. So we're on the line and we have a quick session. We are now is 9:46. We have about 10 minutes left before we do our closing puja. Okay. So now maybe we open up for meditation reporting and some short sharing.
Oh, it's Radio. Good evening, Radio. This is Radio and all Kalamitas. Good evening, Joseph.
Yeah, that's Joseph, yes.
Yeah. I couldn't make it because traffic very heavy.
Yeah, so. Mason, better don't come. Yeah. Through the Zoom. But Jingwan, we all have a lot of us here. We have a total of 13, I think, if I'm not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding PG the question,
well, actually, I think to walk this path of Dhamma, I think you need a lot of patience and for我自己的starting point 是我自己是为了要断烦恼而去学习吗？
对，
那每次要怎样断这个烦恼其实也是一个不容易的事情。可是跟着 Radio 这样一路走来，我们就是跟着 Radio 的 advice， 就是从一点一点这样学习哦。从以为 meditation 就是坐在那边
啊，不是，不是盘坐，
就是盘腿坐在那边。以前我就以为那个就是 meditation， 其实不是，其实是你要真正的就去来把你自己静下来，然后去看到你所讲就是你 form and mind 所能够呈现给你。看到很多东西的 ，you know，
对，
所以就知道怎样，who are you and what are you？
What are you？
对，然后从那边你就会慢慢知道，我们所有所谓的这个所谓的五蕴怎样操作，
对，
然后看到它就是当我们回归我们的就说自信还是我们的 silent， 就是他就是本来无物的，就是他什么都没有，就是一个 awareness within 这样
啊，一个 nature 在里面吧。
对
no word， no description， no concept 的。
对，他就是没有分别心的，他就是
什么都没有的。
对，什么都没有，而且很奥妙，就对了，对我来。讲是很奥妙的 experience， 因为我也有跟 PG 聊天，我们就讲其实我们每个人都很想去怎样讲，就是说我们修行就是为了来 you know 所谓的了生死或者其他的，或者又说怎样的去做得到，可是很多人。就因为 like 讲就是想要就是离开这个所谓的烦恼，可是又不容易。 又不容易，因为为什么？因为他是 demand 很多 understanding
啊。Yes, understanding is number one.
对，嗯，你如果只是会坐在那边，而你又没有 understanding， 就是 basically 他要怎样 free 你这个 mind 啊？是，
嗯，
很重要的一个 point 啦，对我来讲。
嗯，
所以他就讲为什么我他就问我你怎样的去 develop 这个 faith 哦，
啊，
和这个 virya， 我讲对我来讲mindfulness 很重要，因为我所看到的是因为 split second 如果我们没有那个 mindfulness 哦，
啊，就
我们
偏去了，做去了，
对，偏去，而且会我觉得很什么的是，因为你 split second 如果一不小心哦，
嗯，
就是你不 mindful 哦，你会可能会出很多的问题，因为你的
对，
你会造作很多业哦，所以你要来
业障，
对，业障，所以，
因为 human being 啊 have the tendency to react to sense experience 啊。Then arise the 分别心啊， then create a lot of unnecessary duality 啊。那个 duality 你们叫什么 Mandarin？
第四就是啊，就
sensory foul something。Now the English word is better. Duality is you create the right and wrong, the good and bad, the wholesome and the unwholesome. So all these are the two duality of the existential world. When duality arises, then there is right and wrong. There is argument. There is misunderstanding. There is this attachment, clinging, craving, grasping. So.It trigger off a lot of negativity of mind state. So duality, 分别心是那个凡心 mundane mind. Mundane mind will tend to discriminate and create all this duality. Then the world is what it is. All the misunderstanding, the argument, the conflict, the war, they come from duality. Very good 啊，还有什么？
其实 Virgil 最近我所 experience 的是 perception 真的是 really deceive you， you know like、
yeah.
其实我们所 perceive 的很多东西，其实从我们的 memory 出来的都不是真实的，
yeah.
真的是 有两次我都是哎，我 perception 里面。perceive 的东西，然后是真正的不是这样的。
对，
原来 perception， 原来 perception 呢，真的是只是 consciousness， 但没有 perception，
没有 reality 的 ，because it's a viewpoint and ideology。就好像我太太看的 ，it's the memory with the conditioning， the belief system。And all this, what they call conditioning, that condition want to behave that way. So the form of mind that behave that way is dependent on the defilement. So without defilement, there is no movement. The movement come from delusion, sakadity, wrong view. That's why without the 正念 or the right view, living being will fall.Will create suffering, unnecessary attachment, clinging, grasping. That's why perception, where you have mindfulness, you will see it very clearly. The right perception or the correct perception is very important. That's why there is such teaching as seeing things as they are. Means the direct seeing, not through your memory.When you use your thought, your memory, which are full of your views, belief system, conditioning, and negativity, that one cannot act. That one cannot understand. That's why I said human beings' problems come from their own delusion. When you perceive a situation with negativity, means you lack understanding. Whatever happened or arise, like the Buddha said, is already decided by nature's condition. It cannot be otherwise. You want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's why our perception is we always want to perceive things according to our views, our opinion, our conditioning. And all this is the cause of suffering because we don't have that wisdom behind to see that these are not real. There is no being inside. All these are the conditioning that comes about through the senses, through the memory, the accumulated memories. Before you are enlightened, before you awaken, you cannot deal with all this. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. That's why Krishnamurti, the quote, is very beautiful. And the way he sees it is very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, maybe you can summarize the rest or not. Woman, have you 3 minutes like that, Alicia?
Oh. How
early ending.
Yeah, okay, Bradio, sorry. Actually, was summarized that just this journey to me is beautiful. So it's a very wonderful journey to walk, all these year the guidance. So, 我就 end 这里了哈,
感恩Bradio。可以,可以,sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu. So, what she has gone through is very good. Her summary is very good. Because the cultivation need to be approached from many aspects through understanding. Understanding is the most important. Then the next point is, must have faith leading to mindfulness. Once your mindfulness is developed, then all this will fall into place. Then that sincerity, that faith, that perseverance is the one that bring forth the way. She actually able to break free because her life was rather miserable, this life. 16 years of depression earlier on. That's why he got a lot of this mental suffering. She just mentioned just now, she want to free her mind of all the suffering, the misery. Is it fun now? The worry. So because of that, that one driver determined to develop this. And then she followed the instruction. Then she do what she need to do. The relaxation part, maintain awareness. So all this leads to a combination of beautiful understanding and factor that actually enable her to become what she is now, even for Po Cheng, Ng BDL, and many other Kayamita. They also able to do it because they have the faith and they are very patient. Of course, there are also other Kayamita who has developed the program like Song DL. So it depends on the individual. When you have the faith, you have the understanding, like Alicia mentioned, you just sincerely do. Don't try to know, don't try to like eager about your progress. Forget about it, that one will stir your thought again. It will create attachment, craving, the desire to be enlightened, the desire to progress. All this is the thought behind. So you just develop understanding, then just do patient. Then when the causes and conditions fall into place, things will happen. Then constantly listening to the Dhamma is also one other factor. Where she did that. She chased after Suyan for the recording, you remember, for 10 over years she did that. So this is beautiful. Okay, so let us rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, I better end. 10 o'clock already. Okay, let us do the sharing of merits. Akasata Jabhuvata Devanaga Mahitika Punyantang Anamoditva Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Eta Vata Jamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idam menya tinam hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idam menya tinam hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idam menya tinam hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati sampiraya heto bhavato filtoja. Raja Rakyat Dhammiko Ipina Punyang Kamina Mami Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Konyi Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones, eh? Then we end.
Dear brothers and sisters in the Dharma, shall we put our palms together, say sadhu three times to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming all the way to share this beautiful Dharma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Ta Xiong Si Fu for coming all the way and lead us.
In the chanting.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister PG for fetching Bratio and Mrs. Teo. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Sui for helping out the recording and the Zoom session. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And sadhu to Sister Alicia for the beautiful sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to everybody for having the good parami to be here tonight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, allowing us to have this beautiful way place to do the sharing. So we should really rejoice and thank them. And also to all who are able to make this possible. So that's it. Okay, good night. Then we can end. Yeah, happy, safe journey tomorrow.